Hey guys, so this particular episode we are dedicating to Timothy Davidson, or Tim, who was a dear friend of ours, a very, very dear friend of ours, who always encouraged us to go out there and chase after our crazy ideas and our, basically any of our goals. Like, he would always be there as a shining beacon and full of encouragement. We unfortunately lost him to a heart attack late last month, and this is the first show that we've put together since, and as well as being a very dear friend, he was for a time a member of the organising committee with Manchester Rubbermen, and he was always around the scene. Everyone who spoke to him had wonderful memories to share, and it didn't feel right putting an episode out and not acknowledging how much he meant to us and that we will miss him dearly. So, sorry to start on a somber note, but we wanted to dedicate this episode. This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
You good?
Yeah. I think. Yep.
Did you I'm break good. The thing?
No, did not break. I didn't break anything.
Hello, and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Cy. How are we, Chris?
Well, that's a stupid question, isn't it? I'm really hot.
Yep. I mean, you are anyway, but also, yes, the weather here is insane at the moment. But I'm happy. It's good. The sun is shining.
Not
that I've been out in it because... No.
Because why?
So, for our listeners, this is a little bit of an apology because this show is 2 weeks late. I had COVID really bad. And then I got over COVID. I went to Pride and I got COVID again.
Fuck COVID. Yeah. I genuinely don't know how you caught it like twice in within weeks.
I managed to avoid it for 2 years and then catch it twice inside of the same month. So I don't know.
I don't know. Because I had it like 6 months ago and then I haven't had it since, even though I've been you and you've caught it.
Yeah, the irony is that you have been around me both times and you have been completely fine. And I don't know how this has happened, but okay.
I don't know.
But that's not the topic for today, but we do apologise to our listeners that we are late with the show. What is the topic this week, Chris?
The topic this week is events.
Well, I would say it's more event survival. Kind of a mini event survival guide.
Event survival guide. How to go to events and not die.
I like that. We'll stick with that. But before we get there, what's the tea, Chris?
Let's see, going with the theme of events, I'm going to say London Pride is an event.
London Pride is an event, yeah. Yes.
London Pride is an event.
It's only a small one, mind, but it's an event.
Just over a week ago, and at, you know, these big, massive prides, you have basically the usual... religious, anti-gay protesters, party poopers. There with a sound system, with picket boards.
Yep.
All those things. And, well, allegedly, their sound system got hacked into by the people who went to Pride and they played It's Raining Men on their sound system.
Okay, so... I love that they played It's Raining Men, even. Mm-hmm. I am, however, going to pick you up a little bit on the language here. As the IT guy.
Sure.
It wasn't hacked. Hacked is a very particular term. It wasn't hacked. The Bluetooth was left open access, as we understand it.
Well, that's what's the speculation. Like that's how we think. That's how we think it's...
Commandeered. Let's use the word commandeered rather than hacked.
Yeah, okay. The word hacked was used in the original post on, I think, TikTok. So I'm just going to reuse that word because I don't know any better words.
That's because no one understands that the word hacked hasn't... Never mind. Yeah. I'm just being the IT guy pitching.
Yeah, but I also didn't know if it was 100%
that's
the Bluetooth
fair.
System. So
that's fair.
So either way... I'm not going to be correct.
No, that's fair enough. And it's... So I don't condone, like, any of this, like, quote-unquote hacking, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a delicious irony in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to try and hijack the Pride and protest against it. And, you know, hey, they hijacked you back.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
But yeah, that is rather amusing.
That was my little bit of cherry on the cake.
Nice little bit of Schadenfreude.
Yeah, indeed.
One thing I did like out of what I was seeing from London Pride, apart from seeing like various members of our friends show up in various photos all over the place, which was rather funny to watch happen. I did see that the Heartstopper, like, actors, etc., were marching and ended up, like, just giving them all the finger as they were going by. That was also a nice little bit of, yeah, go on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always a bit of, conflict. No, there's a small bit of conflict at Pride.
Well, there's always a little bit of conflict at Pride. Unfortunately, these people will show up.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was my tea. Yeah. Rather short one. What was on yours?
So my tea this... I'm going to stick with the Pride theme this week.
All right.
Because me and you just got back from Bristol Pride.
Yes, and that's where you got your COVID.
Indeed. Like, for anyone that's, like, tracking this, like, I tested negative, etc., like, a few days beforehand. Like, I made sure I followed, like, good practice and everything else. But, oh my God, do Bristol people go hard? Like...
Oh?
So, I...
What do you mean by that?
No. So, I've done a few different prides.
Sure.
I have never been to a Pride that felt quite as much of a protest march as Bristol did.
Okay.
And I've never been to a Pride that, to me, has felt as much of a community as Bristol did.
Interesting.
Bristol didn't feel in any way commercial to me. It didn't feel like, you know, this was about, like, oh, look at us for... the committee or anything like that. It was a case of, like, this actually felt like, yeah, this has been done for and by the community.
I'll tell you the other thing I really liked.
Mm-hmm. During the march, there was no segmentation.
No. No, it wasn't like one group followed by, yeah, it wasn't like one group, you this is your slots followed by that group, this is your slots, don't deviate, don't mix together. It was not like that.
And this is what I was going to say. For anyone who doesn't know what I mean, you'll often see it at Pride parades where it's like, you're given a number and you need to march in that number.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was very much like, you filter down, you try and keep your group together within yourselves, and you sort of carry on. And we were marching with the Southwest Fetish Men.
Yeah.
Wonderful guys. Absolutely wonderful people.
Hmm.
And yeah, it genuinely felt like a community, and it was fun, like, seeing everyone, like, see the fetish guys come around the corner and wave, etc. There was none of this sort of aggravation about kinksters at Pride, etc. Everyone was in it together and I absolutely loved it. So I just want to shout that out. And it's just like, we had a few hiccups along the way that we will come to in our event survival guide thing.
Mm.
Yes. Mainly, like, things that we forgot about planning these things.
And I'm sure some of you will have forgotten as well.
Oh yeah, like we weren't the only ones caught out by this. Yeah. But like this, like I just have to shout that out. Like it was an absolutely fantastic bride. And it's one I would recommend to people.
That's good to know. That's good to know. That's what you think of it. Don't get me wrong. There were definitely some corporate presentation.
There was some corporate presence, but I don't think presentation.
Yeah.
I think the key thing is it didn't feel like it was at the expense of the community.
Exactly.
At no point did it feel like it was at the expense of the community, whereas other prides it does.
Yeah. So most of them were basically like local companies, or you know, some of them are big companies who have Bristol presence, of a Bristol office of some sort, and you know, they group together. They're the local LGBT guys who work for that company just decided that, oh yeah, we'll wear our company t-shirts and that kind of thing. Well, I happen to not bother to join them this year because Sarah's the group that I identify more heavily with. So
exactly. I'll tell you what I also really liked within all of that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, so before the march, we all gathered on
Castle Park.
So we collected at Castle Park. And as you looked around, there were so many different groups. And like, you had a bunch of people who identified as queer. You had a bunch of people of like non-binary. You had like various unions. You had, at one point, like the Lord Mayor was walking around with us. At one point, there was the fetish men. There was very, like, if you looked around, there was somewhere for you.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was so happy to just kind of get on alongside each other. And I loved that. That felt so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the fact that all the community groups like actually had a presence at the at the parade. You know, like on the other hand, you know, we don't get the massive floats and all those fancy things, but that's okay.
You know what? That to me is part of why I said it felt more like an actual protest march.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't a hey, look at us, like as each like float goes past marking each, you know, corporate or group or whatever it was.
Yeah.
This is a community pulling together to say we are still fighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. That's what you thought of it. Yeah.
So with that, shall we head into the survival guide, as it were?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, let's put that. Yes, pull the survival guide out of our bag and talk about it.
not that there's like an official one as such, but it's just like I think it is one of those, like, so I think for some people they may not realize in the UK, although like yes, we do the Pride Month celebration etc. in terms of online stuff, and London has just had its Pride, so as Bristol, not all of the Prides happen during June.
No,
so there will still be Prides going on. I know Manchester's still to come. I know Leeds is still to come. There's a few up and down the country that will still happen, basically right up until September.
Yeah, Brighton is another big one that's not happened yet.
Yeah. So we were thinking, like, because we've just sort of done Pride and we've just kind of had our own version of this, I guess, we would talk about basically what to do with events, because we've just done MRM, we've done Pride.
Yeah.
We did Fetish Weekend in Bristol.
Yeah.
Like, and there are things that you don't necessarily think about until it's too late.
It's never too late.
Okay. Maybe not that it's too late, but there's things you don't realize until you're in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's been at least one of these things at every single event I've done in the last few months. So we thought we'd do like a little bit of a kind of crash course survival guide for those of you doing events, and those of you who might be going along for the first time, or you might be listening to this having done events before and going, oh yeah, I can identify with that, or hey, I've never thought to do that before.
Yes.
And if you have any like input on this, we would love to hear from you about that as well.
Sure.
So the first thing I've got in here is plan to go and book early.
Yeah, so, yeah, a lot of events will have, like, early bird early bird prices and that kind of thing. And obviously hotels is a classic thing. Like you, the earlier you book, the cheaper it likely is going to be.
And this is exactly what I was thinking with it. Like hotel, early bird tickets, yes, but not everything does them. But definitely accommodation and travel will be so much cheaper the earlier you can get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that, you know, hotels get booked out if it's a really, really popular event. If it's like a hotel-based conference of some sort, you know, I know Giblos UK has the same format. IML, they're all based in one hotel. And if you want to be in that hotel, it will get booked out. Oh, yeah.
And when we're saying, like, book early, we're talking, like, some of these events are so big, you are talking that, like, if it's at a particular venue, like a hotel or a conference center, it will be booked out within the first week.
Yeah.
With that said, if you don't book early, there are some things that you can do.
Of course.
Look around various, like, travel websites, like, always be comparing your deals. Look at, like, last-minute deals and secret deals, etc., that you see on things like... some of the big, I'm not going to name any of them.
No.
Some of the big companies, some of the big well-known like booking sites will do like a secret hotel type of thing where you don't get told what the hotel is, but you get told some information about it. And if you actually can use that information to work out what the hotel is usually, and it comes in a bit cheaper. Also, honestly, Airbnb and things like that can sometimes be so much cheaper than hotels.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes they can definitely be. Depending on how many people you're going with, like, obviously, if you share a room, it's going to be cheaper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, but, yeah, like, planning to go and, like, booking it early is, like, a really big one. And we know, like, there's always that one friend that's kind of straggling on to the end.
Yeah.
Work out everyone that's a firm yes and get it all booked in. And then, like, if they're coming, that can get sorted out at that point. Like, yeah, I don't like the idea of ever, like, leaving someone behind, but at the same time, like... sometimes you're going to have to go, well, you know, if we don't book this now, we're going to lose the deal.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, by all means, if you plan to go to somewhere, if you want to go to somewhere that's happening next week, and you can go, you can still go. Yeah. not saying, you know, you have to book early in order to go.
So, no, absolutely. Know. But it does definitely help in terms of trying to make it cheaper.
Yeah, a lot of the time you can just turn up. Yeah, the exception was when it was during COVID and they had number restrictions.
Yep.
That's different, though. We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. I think the other thing I'll add into that, because this is probably the right place to put it, is just like these, like any event, like is if you have like minded friends, go with friends, it will be it, like you will make memories.
Yeah.
With that said, if you don't have like-minded friends, don't let that put you off from going because, you could meet great people there and, like, make great friends, etc. there.
100%.
So, once you are booked and you have your accommodation and everything, this is the bit that I screwed up on.
Okay.
At the last event.
Yep.
Prepare your kit before you go. And yes. I don't mean, like, the night before.
No.
This is the thing I always mess up on, because I always pack my things last minute. You know, wash your gear, treat your gear, etc.
Yeah.
Pack your douche, pack your medication, all that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Basically, don't be me and try and, like, have a bit of organization beforehand.
Yeah, because when you're actually at the events, you have less time than you think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Or you do what I did, where you're stood on the train platform about, like, waiting for the train to come in, and then suddenly realize, fuck, I forgot my douche. Because that was a thing I did.
Yeah.
Kind of scuppered some of my plans for that weekend.
Or, you know, there was that thing when my husband took the shower shot from the shower and then didn't actually undo the right bit. So he unscrewed the top bit, but not the actual the hex. Yeah. Nut that you actually need to screw into the shower at our Airbnb. Like, well, this is now useless.
Oh, Yeah, right. So I'm not going to name names, but like we do have a friend who takes a set of grips and things to be able to take the heads off the shower, etc.
Yeah.
Because I was talking with this friend of mine over the weekend. And he was like telling us about this. I'm just like, no, just no. That's like, there is such a thing as preparing your kit and preparing too far.
Nah.
A normal douche is fine.
Nah.
I know it may not be everyone's preference, but for the sake of when traveling, a normal douche is fine.
I might not agree with that. Well, sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes, you know, you go into the shower room and then you're like, oh yeah, there's just that massive one up top, and yeah, that's not gonna work.
No, I'm sorry. It's like, a travel size douche is enough, as far as I'm concerned.
Most of the time, yeah.
We're not going to agree on this, are we? On the subject of water, though.
Yeah.
Something that everyone should do when you are at an event: make sure you are hydrating.
Of course, yeah. Maybe.
Because you are constantly on the go, and especially if it is the middle of summer and like the temperature is up,
yeah.
Oh my god, you're going to need it, and you're not going to realize how badly you need it.
Yeah, yeah. For particular events at Kingsters, high temperatures are it's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Bristol Pride. We were marching, and I think it was, what, about 26 degrees or something like that?
26 degrees. We literally had runners at one point. For Americans, that is...
Yeah, this is in Celsius. Like, if you're American, I'm sorry, like, please do the conversion.
That's 79 Fahrenheit.
79. Which, I know some people will be listening to that going, hey, that's not too bad, that's an average day here. No, that's not in England. That is not an average day in England.
No.
At one point, we literally had runners, like, running to, like, the shops and things along the route to grab drinks. Some of our friends were asking people on the edge that were watching the march, like, whether they could have the ice out of their empty cups, because it was that warm. Because when you're marching in full rubber or full leather and you're under all of that and under the sun, it gets hot quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And honestly, on that point, as like if you're in gear and it's like a pride and you're doing the march or something, have a textile look that you can switch to. There's nothing wrong with being in textile if the conditions are just not feasible.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because at the end of the day, you need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Like, sure, the gear looks great, don't misunderstand me, but it's all well and good the gear looking great, but if you've fainted, like, out of heat exhaustion, no one's looking at the gear at that point. You know?
Yeah, like, look by after all yourselves. Means represents, but, you know, once you've had enough, yeah, then get out of it.
Exactly. Do it in a way that's safe. That's what I did. Like, I marched in my gear and then I went and changed afterwards because I just couldn't hack the heat.
Or if you were like me, you felt fine and keep it on.
And that's fair enough. Like, you know, for me, it just wasn't viable. So yeah. I switched out.
Yeah. I mean, yours was also heavier gear than what I had.
True. But if we're talking, like, while you're at an event as well.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, and I, like, this is the thing that I really need to learn, because I try and, like, ignore this one each time, and it bites me on the derriere.
Right.
You know what it is?
Yeah, you ended up looking at the schedule, and it's packed full.
Yep.
And you just go from one thing to the other without stopping.
Mm-hmm. And I have done this every time. And I manage to do this every time. You look at the schedule, it's like, hey, that looks cool. Hey, that looks cool. Hey, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And you forget that you're human. There is only so much that you can do before you collapse and before your body goes, no.
Yeah. The thing, I'm really bad at that as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just fetish events or kink or pride events. Like, even if I'm going on holiday or something, and I go to, like, basically, well, that is an event, isn't it? A sporting event. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the schedule, like, yes, I can do that. I'll go from here to there, to there, to there, to there. Kind of just nonstop for 2 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm. And remember that if you're starting in the early morning and there are things going on in the night, take a break.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, take a break.
Yeah.
Get a nap. If you can, like, go and have a nap. Like...
Totally.
That's like by the end of Bristol Pride, my body was done. My body was completely given up on me. And I remember I woke up the following morning, and this is honest to goodness true. I woke up the following morning and I felt sore, but I felt all right.
Mm.
Then I got up, I took a few steps and realized that I was a little bit stiff. I then tried to go downstairs and realized that my body was not going to cooperate. I think it took me the better part of 10 minutes to get down the stairs because I was that stiff.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson there with Bristol Pride, and that's why, you know, I don't even go to the evening stuff anymore. Yes, I know having a parade starting at 10 o'clock, basically, and
yep.
being at the park till like 7 or 8, like, yeah, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's already a very, very long day. I don't need to do any more.
But no, like, make sure you... And this is even more true if it's a multi-day event. Like, we did MRM.
Absolutely, yeah.
And oh my God, like, by the end of day two, I could happily have gone home and just slept for a week. Because my body was so done. Like, I was burnt out socially, I was burnt out physically, I was burnt out emotionally. I loved every moment of it.
Yeah.
But I was done. And we still have 3 days left.
Yeah. Let alone if you want to have sex.
Like, basically, like, especially if you're doing multi-day events, plan a day of downtime. Well, okay, maybe not a day of downtime, but plan an easy day in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do everything. I know you want to. I get it. Mm-hmm. I do as well.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't. Your body can't.
No. Look at the schedule in advance. Work out mm-hmm. already. This is the few things I have to do. I yep. must do these few things. And then
after that, everything else is nice to have. And if you're tired, go and fucking rest.
Exactly. Yeah. If you know there's something you really, 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 really want to do that night, maybe don't do anything in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And that's the thing that I always forget. Always.
Mm.
I'm terrible with yeah. knowing my own limits.
Yeah, yeah, you're very good at, oh yeah, wait, I need to meet this person here, we need to meet that person
mm-hmm.
At that time, they're going to that one, I want to see everyone.
Yep. And I think that's another thing. Like, remember, like, seeing your friends and everything is great, but this is one event and you have the entire rest of the year.
Yeah.
You know? But on that note, if you are seeing friends and you do decide to meet up with them, one mm-hmm. thing that we definitely run foul of, if you're at an event like Pride, or basically any event where there's suddenly going to be a lot of people in one area,
yeah,
assume that things aren't going to work.
Especially your phones.
Exactly. One of the biggest problems that we had at Bristol Pride was the phone networks just gave up.
Yeah.
Because everyone appeared on the downs and suddenly there is no signal.
Yeah, it's very common at these things. Like, if mm-hmm. I go to see a football match, I guarantee in the stadium, the phones are just not going to work.
Exactly. Exactly. So basically, like, if you're going to these things, like, have an old fashioned plan. Like,
yeah.
I will meet you by the tall tree in front of what was it? I think was it a Labour tent or a council?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It was some sort of like local government tent, and it was just like there was a tall tree with shade. I will meet you under the tall tree with shade in front of the local government tent at X number at X hour. You know?
Yeah.
Because it was just like, there was no way anyone was getting a signal through. If you got text messages through, you were lucky.
Exactly. Like, Yeah, we're going to a sports analogy. Why do you think that football fans still take a radio into a stadium on the last day of the season? That's why, because phones are not going to work.
Yep. Like you're not going to get that update from anywhere else in the country for a good couple of hours if you're relying on your phone, because it just... I don't. You see, maybe this is a UK thing. I don't know. Maybe this is just a UK infrastructure thing.
No. It's not just the UK. I've been abroad to see Formula One races, and invariably phones do not work.
Fair enough.
Even in, you know, where you think there would be very good phone signals like Japan.
And I mean, to be fair, it's not the worst idea to have a fallback option.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, because you're at the event, things get broken. Let's be honest, phones get broken. Like, mine did. Like I recently broke mine at MRM. Like, have a fallback option. Like, if you don't hear from me, then we'll meet at X place, you know?
Yeah.
That's never a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing really is, well, you're going to go home at the end of the night anyway, aren't you? I'll see you there.
Which is great, unless you've only got one key.
True.
I mean, the other thing, I guess what we're trying to say with this particular bit is, like, have contingencies for your contingencies.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're all going to communicate. That's great, but what if the communication goes down? Hey, we're going to travel at this time. That's great, but what if there's a rail strike or whatever? Have a plan for when there is no plan, basically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously you can't account for every single possibility.
No, you can't. And honestly, that's probably a little bit of my anxiety talking after having, like, everything go wrong multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, you've had it quite bad, to be fair.
having some level of fallback is not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if it is just a basic, like, hey, meet me by the big tree next to the stage at this time if you've not heard from me before at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the thing is, like, the other thing I'll say is, if you're someone who's going along to, let's say, Pride for the first time and you're not out, etc., have a contingency, but you don't necessarily have to tell someone where you're going. Like, you can treat it very similar to a hookup in terms of, like, saying to someone, hey, like, can you do me a favor if you've not heard from me by this time and start trying to get hold of me, or check the find my iPhone or whatever.
Okay. You
know? Like, you don't necessarily have to tell someone where you're going, but you can still set up a safety thing so that you know that there's that safety net for you as well. Not that you should need it, but it's never bad to have a plan. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, have... Again, it's probably my anxiety talking, but, like, have contingencies. Because, you know, things go wrong. Even when you, like, are like me and you try and plan everything out to, like, the minute at times.
Yeah, no.
Because Chris will back me up on this. I can go overboard on planning.
Yeah, whereas my opinion is, oh, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. And that, you know, I'll deal with it when it comes.
Whereas mine, if it goes wrong, it's like, oh shit, what do I do?
If it goes wrong, there's always someone else who thinks, you know, who can sort it out for you.
Yeah, no, that's not how I work.
Yeah.
That's not how I work. If it goes wrong, I just melt down, I know this. It's just like, I know, and the thing is, like, that's one thing I will say. Like, if you are like me and, like, you're not neurotypical and, like, routine and all this thing is a big thing for you, be aware that these things can go wrong. Be aware that your timings might end up being off, or that things may end up delayed, because, you know, the nature of these things is they are live events.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like live TV, nothing goes to plan, you know?
Oh, yeah. If a parade says they're leaving at the park at 10:45, it will leave at about 11:30.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, my point is, like, try and get in your head beforehand, things may not go to this plan. Mm-hmm. Have this plan by all means. Try and get it in your head like beforehand. Things may get delayed. Things may get pushed. And maybe try and adjust your plan accordingly and leave like extra time for things to get maneuvered around, sort of thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's good general advice anyway, to be honest. But definitely, like, if you're like me, like, I'm ADHD, autistic, etc., like, loss of routine and off schedule is a really major, like, freak out for me at times. That can be a step towards mitigating some of it. It isn't all of it, as you have seen, Chris, but, like, it can it can help to reduce some of that stress.
Okay. Okay. That's good advice.
So, you've been to the event, you've done the event, you've had an awesome time, etc.
Yes.
There's two things left.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. There's two things left. One is travelling home.
Yep.
And remember that you need to travel home. Not as in, like, forget and don't travel home, but, like...
No, just stay there forever. Yeah.
Well, no, what I mean is, like, remember that that's still effort and that's still energy that you've got to expend, oh, etc.
Yeah.
Traveling because is. I know I have definitely messed that up before where it's just, like, I haven't factored in the fact that I've done this event and that I'm traveling all day on that day and I'm one of these people that find traveling really draining.
Traveling is very draining.
And yeah, and it's one of those things, like, remember to factor that in, because I know I've definitely done it where it's just like, yeah, I can travel back on that day and be straight back to it on that day. And then that day comes and bang, like, I'm just in the wall.
Yeah. Like, traveling is... takes up a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. However you travel, honestly, even if it's, like, on a point-to-point coach.
Mm-hmm. It does, though. Like, people don't realize, like, how much it drains.
Yeah, you get thrown around in the coach and and that kind of thing. That takes energy.
And, again, this comes back to where my contingency thing was, but it's just, like I always try and make sure I have two plans of travel if I can. So, like, if I'm traveling on train, like, I always kind of know if there's a coach I can get if I absolutely have to, even though I hate taking the coach. But, I do. It's just because, you know, there might be something happen on the line on that day. That's happened to me before.
Well, it's definitely happened to me before.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been in that situation before where it's just like, I'd been to something in Manchester. I think it was Pride or something. And for some reason, there was a problem on the line between Manchester and Sheffield, and there were just no trains. And it was just like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Oh, well.
And, like, thankfully, there's a fairly decent and regular coach link between Sheffield and Manchester.
I would imagine so.
So, kind of, you know what you're doing in terms of your travel. Maybe have a backup option if you can. Not saying, like, book it, etc. Just know what's there.
Oh, yeah.
It'll take a bit of stress out.
Yeah.
But then also, we should talk about Event Drop.
We should probably talk about Event Drop.
Because Event Drop is, like... Well, do you want to, like, define what Event Drop is first?
Yeah, so, well, you've done the events now. You've had your fun. You have been on the massive emotion high. And... you know, feel happy and that. And then you get home and then you're not with your friends anymore. You just kind of go back to, you know, your day job and then you just felt, basically.
Yeah.
It's an event drop.
So event drop is that dip that comes after an event. And we're not talking necessarily the one that comes straight away. Because although for some people it will be, we're not talking necessarily kind of that energy drain that you've got straight away, the bit that I refer to as, like, the social hangover.
Mm.
We're talking, like, this can be a few days afterwards where life has gone back to normal routine and you're not dancing in the club every night, you're just sat at your work desk and, like, all of a sudden it's just, like, it's a little bout of depression. It is, like, a little, micro bout of depression.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that if you do have mental health difficulties, etc., it can be a bit harder because of it.
Fair enough. Yeah. And you're left there thinking, like, oh, why can't I do MRM every day of the year?
Yeah. No, but you are. It is a genuine, that's a genuine kind of question that you might ask yourself in that moment. But if you do get event drop, there are a few things that you can do to try and mitigate it, I guess.
Yeah. I haven't got a better word. I want to say combat it, but yeah, that's not a better word than mitigate. Okay.
I mean, so the biggest one that I would say is it starts actually during the event, which is kind of going back to what we said about planning in a bit of rest time. That can be a big help in terms of reducing how bad it is, because you kind of get that little bit of a step down in between that helps you kind of normalize back a bit easier. That's been my experience.
It could do.
And that's like something that I also bear in mind kind of towards the end of it, I might have this, if it's a multi-day event, I might have this slightly quieter day in there. Mm-hmm. I'll also try and make sure the last day is kind of calmer than the rest of it to kind of help sort of, I guess, taper down a little.
Oh, fair enough. If it's about multi-day events, they tend to do that anyway.
Yeah.
They kind of basically make the climax of the event in the middle, rather than build to right at the end.
I mean, I think it depends, because there was definitely, so I'm thinking of some events like MRM definitely have kind of their closing parties as well.
Yeah, but it's kind of the it's still over the hump already.
No, I guess there is that little bit of that, but I think it's never a bad thing to try and factor that into your own plans, because you can still get caught in that rush of, I've got to do everything.
Oh, yes.
So, and if you can try and kind of just taper that a bit at the end, it'll probably give you a better time with event drop, because it may not hit you quite as hard.
No, I think you're not wrong.
But that's what you can do kind of during the event. If you find yourself that you're sat at home and you've hit the event drop, what's some of the things that we can do to kind of help with that, Chris?
Just talk to friends.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to your friends. Go out for a walk.
Assuming that you have the energy.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Because the thing I would suggest as well, if you don't have the energy, don't beat yourself up over it. Yeah. It's okay to actually not have the energy at that point. Because this was something that I struggled with for a long time. Because I want to do everything and I want to be. You know, I used to kind of beat myself up afterwards for having this dip afterwards. And it's no, everyone does this to some degree. Even the people that say they don't, they still get it. They just don't. They either aren't acknowledging it or they don't realize that they get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, if you have any energy, find something else to kind of do a wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and you can, after say the day of the events, you can also pre-plan a day off work or something if you can. Obviously, just book another day off. Just to recover.
And that's it. But I'll also say that is assuming a little bit that you're able to. If you're not able to, but you know that, say, you know, you've got to go back to work the day after you get back, but you've got this day off coming up 2-3 days later, make sure you plan that to be a little bit more restful and relaxing than normal.
Oh, yes.
Order the food in, don't cook that day unless cooking's how you de-stress, and kind of put your feet up, play some video games, and just do something that's not going to take masses of energy and just let your body recover.
Yeah. Yeah, there are various ways. You don't have to play video games if you don't like video games.
Well, no, but...
But you're listening to this podcast, so exactly. That's what we're going to suggest.
I mean, I know one other thing that I've found quite useful for event drop is trying to honestly just sleep it off. And I know this will sound like I'm giving kind of, bad advice on mental health grounds, this, that, and the other, because people will be you should try and stay active, this, that, and the other. I have found with event drop, sometimes it is better for me to just go, you know what, I know what this is, and I'm going to take this break.
Yeah.
Because if I take this break now, I'll be able to more readily be there later on.
It's weird because, you know, it's almost like having a gap to separate what has just happened to the normal exactly. quote-unquote life that you have.
Exactly. I do think there's definitely an element of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, we can sit here and we can go, hey, like, try doing this and try doing that and try doing the other. The bottom line is, do what you need to do when you're feeling down. Do the things that, like, will help you pick up. But the one thing that I will definitely kind of put out there and remind people is, make sure that you drink, as in drink some water, some orange juice, whatever. Make sure that you take the medication that you need to take. Because I know one thing that I've done really badly with event drop is I've missed medication. So, like, go take your medication. And I'm going to say this to you now. Like, if you've not done it yet and you've realized that, hey, I didn't take my meds, pause this, go get a drink of water and take your meds. We'll still be here in 2 minutes, you know?
That's the thing about podcasts.
Exactly. But also, like, just take some new time. It's okay to take some new time, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Think of it, you know, if you've been on holiday before, probably, and, you know, the things that you do after going on a beach holiday, that's probably pretty much the same as going on the kink event.
I would argue it is the same. I would argue it is just a variation on event drop.
Yeah.
I think this is what a lot of people kind of miss. Like, everyone from every walk of life and every kind of activity will have some form of event drop. We talk about it as kinksters a lot because we talk about it in the context of, hey, I went and did Pride, or hey, I went and did Fetish Weekend London, or, you know, insert event here. People do it coming back off holiday. That thing where you come back off holiday and already feel like you need another one, that's event drop.
Yeah.
Because the holiday was the event.
It's the same. It's the same as, oh, yeah, I've just spent a week in Mallorca.
Yeah. Chris just casually giving away his travel plans for the next year.
I have never been to Mallorca.
Neither have I. But yeah, like, I guess the bottom line is, like, as cliche as it sounds, take some time for some self-care.
Yep. Always.
Put on your favourite podcast. Give us a listen.
Oh, not hinting anything at all.
Just sit down with a book, whatever it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but honestly, if we relax you, then put us on.
Exactly.
If we don't, then put something else on.
I mean, it might be that, and I know some people like this, it might be that if you've been at a kink event for the last 4 or 5 days or whatever it is, that you don't want to have anything more to do with kink for a little bit. And that's perfectly okay as well. I know some people are that way as well. It's like, hey, I've just done all of this for the last couple of weeks. I need a break.
Yep. Yep. True. All valid.
I think that's everything in terms of a crash course. Like, I know we've not necessarily hit any one area in a particularly big way, but I think we have hit kind of the main points.
I hope so.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want us to go into more detail on any particular section, like, just reach out to us on social media and we'll happily do so.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, like big enough for as its own thing, but yeah, we can acknowledge it on a shorter topic or something.
Exactly. But with that said, I think that is the bag for the day.
Yeah.
Shall we head into the sweetener that is the 5-minute marvel?
We can do. We certainly can do.
So do we want to start with Ms. Marvel, or do we want to start with your opinion on Thor? Because I've not seen it yet.
Let's start with Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
I'm happy with Ms. Marvel.
I have really enjoyed Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
We are we've just had the penultimate episode, just to put this in context for people of like where they're hearing us talk from.
Yes. Yeah.
I found it really interesting to get a look at the not the division, sorry. What's the proper
partition?
Partition, thank you. I found it really interesting to get a look at Partition and see that story get told.
Yes. Yeah.
And I liked the way they actually kind of made that very personal for Kamala and made that really work out in terms of the narrative.
Hmm.
However, I felt like it all got a little bit too quickly tidied up. The whole thing of, like, they're being chased by the djinn, and then all of a sudden, like, the leader of the djinn is going to do this very quick about turn on what they want just because they mentioned that they'd left Kamran behind. It felt a little bit rushed.
Okay. I do think that there wasn't really the big fights that we were expecting, or, well, that's because that's still going to come in the last episode, but the djinn thing has got resolved like too without context, really.
it almost felt like you were wrapping up a side plot rather than what's essentially been the main driving plot so far.
Yeah.
And visually, they seem to have moved away from the stuff that I really liked in the first two episodes with, like, the animated graffiti art and that very kind of, almost like, I guess, like Kick-Ass Deadpool style wall-breaking, like, animation stuff that they were doing. And I'm really not a fan of that either.
I don't know if it's just because they've moved away from... Well, firstly, they've moved away from New Jersey. And secondly, half of the last episode, well, most of the last episode, was not set in the same time period.
Okay, so I agree with that, and I think it can definitely be forgiven for that particular bit.
Yeah.
But even in the episode before that, they'd kind of stepped away from it.
Yeah.
There were still little bits here and there, kind of like sight gag stuff, but it just felt a bit... I don't know. I feel like that kind of really brought you into kind of Kamala and her story, her world, this being a very kind of street level story versus the Avengers type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we've lost that, I feel like we've kind of pulled away a little bit. And I've got to give credit to Council of Geeks on YouTube, who was the one that kind of cued me at this, because they mentioned it in their... review of the last episode that they'd noticed this, and then like once it was pointed out to me, I couldn't unsee it. There does feel like there's become a little bit of a disconnect, and it also, I don't know, like I'm hoping they fix that in the last episode, but it feels like there's a lot of lifting to do there.
Yeah, I think as the tension grew, they kind of stopped doing that cartoony animation thing that you were talking about. And I'm hoping, if that's the case, I'm hoping when they do the wrap-up at the end of next episode, then they'll come back or something.
True. Although I wish they'd have kept it even through the tension, because like, that would have been a really cool thing to distinguish it outside of anything else that's come before, you know?
That said,
these are, like, as much as I'm criticizing it, I am enjoying it. I am really enjoying the story. I am loving the actress that plays Kamala. Like, apparently it's her first role, and oh my god, she's amazing. I love her.
Her first role.
I want more. You've seen Thor: Love and Thunder? Like, I have 60 seen second Thor. Review, because I haven't.
That's a 30 second buzzer. It's good. It's funny. The cinematography was great. It's fun. That doesn't justify it whatsoever.
Do we see Thor fully nude?
Excelsior!
God damn it, that's going to have to be cliffhanger for the next one. I haven't got time to answer that. God damn it. Okay. Fair Well, with that being the case, should we head into the joysticks, Chris?
Sure.
What's on your joystick?
So on my joysticks is a game called Stacklands. Or Stacklands.
Stacklands. Okay. Yeah. I have not heard of this.
So it is kind of like an indie type game. It's built on the idea of building kind of a village.
Okay.
But all you get are like stacks of cards.
Right. Okay.
So, for example, like, at the beginning of a game, you basically get like a berry bush, like, and a villager, and I don't know, some kind of material or something, and a few coins, and then you move the card of your villager to the berry bush, mm-hmm. and then the time kind of a progress bar kind of appears up top, and once it's done, then you know a berry pops out.
Right. Okay.
And that's kind of how the game works. You stack cards on top of each other. So, you stack three stones on top of each other and put a villager with it. Then, after a progress bar finishes, a brick kind of pops out.
Okay, so is this like... would you say that this is more of a deck builder type game? Or more of a resource management type game? Or... what?
Yeah, like... it's more resource management to me.
Right.
Yeah, and it's got a bit of depth to it. To be fair.
Okay.
So sometimes, so after you get your resources, you know, you've got villagers eat food, but you know your other resources can be sold for coins.
Yep.
And then there are packs of cards on the top of your screen that you can buy with your coins.
Okay.
And you eventually get like higher level kind of stuff.
Okay.
You can stack cards together to make buildings, that kind of thing. And it eventually levels up itself.
Okay. So I don't know if this is at all accurate, but from the way you're describing it, I'm kind of imagining a solitaire board. That, like, you instead of stacking like the suites of cards, you are stacking up the different elements. That's probably entirely wrong. It's just kind of the vision I've got in my head right now.
It's a little bit like that. Except you know that you haven't got like particular slots for those cards.
Right.
Yeah, once you stack them together, they kind of become kind of neat, but you can right. still move them anywhere on the screen. There are no like particular columns that you have to fill.
Okay.
And the animals are really annoying because they just jump around all over the screen until you build an animal pen.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Okay.
And like every, I don't know, 60 seconds or something, your rabbits would spit out like, well
more rabbits. Well,
no, just a card that says poop.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And then you have to clean that up.
So I've just done a very quick search of this just to see a couple of screenshots. It mm-hmm. kind of makes me think of, as silly as this may sound, visually, it kind of makes me think of some old Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of got that feeling that, like, I wouldn't feel like this was a miss if I found this on, like, obviously, like, a black and white version or whatever, or a simple color version as opposed to what this quite appears to be, which is a more high-def version, but... it wouldn't necessarily feel not at home on something like the Nintendo DS, for example. I don't know. It's just kind of got that visual feel to me.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. But yeah, essentially, you know, your goal is to collect food, build more high level things, mm-hmm. and fight stuff that sometimes appears.
So this is PC game, is it?
This is... I am playing on PC, but yep. I think it is also on the Nintendo Switch. No, it isn't.
Windows, Mac, and Mac OS.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Interesting.
They've also just released like a second board, an Islands board as well, as well as the original Farm board.
Okay.
So I still got to play that.
Interesting. I'm a little bit curious about this. Just like, this is one of those games where the visual style alone kind of intrigues me, because I love it when you get this kind of like simple idea done really well. And it strikes me as one of those kinds of games just by looking at the screenshots and hearing what you've described.
Yeah, yeah. It is quite highly reviewed, and it's only
£3.99. Oh, nice. On Steam. Okay. Yeah, definitely worth a look then.
Yeah. So that has been my joystick. What's on yours?
So on mine, it's been an interesting one, because with me being ill with COVID and then running around and doing everything, like, I've not had that much time to pick up something new. Because basically when I pick up a new game, I want to be able to actually have the time to get into it and understand what I'm working with. I have, however, had good fun picking up Fall Guys, which is... Basically, if you're not familiar with it, then one, I'm going to ask where you've been, because it's been everywhere for the last year or so.
Well, it's been everywhere for about a year ago, and then it kind of just kind of disappeared for a bit from a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, but it's now come back out, and it's free to play now, and it's available on Xbox as well now, which is also like a big reason why I finally picked it up. If you think of Takeshi's Castle or Total Wipeout, but in video game form, then you've got the right kind of idea.
Okay. Yeah.
I enjoy the bit of, like, weird competitiveness of it. But it's also one of those games that, like, I can pick up, I can play around, I can put it down.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
It's actually been really nice for that. With me, like, when I was really ill with COVID and I didn't have much energy, but I wanted to do something, it was a really nice way of kind of killing a bit of time and doing a bit of something that doesn't take so much effort that it was, like, wiping me out.
Yeah, that's fair, because, all the Fall Guys games, oh, because they fall out, because that's a completely different franchise. The Fall Guys games are all, like, kind of very silly, or very silly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the good thing about Fall Guys. There's no pressure to actually, like, do particularly well, unless, you know, you put that pressure on yourself.
Exactly. But one thing that I've also really liked about the game is it's almost been an ideal kind of warm-up and cool-down game. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're jumping on, it's just like, hey, like, I know I'm on a bit early, my friends are going to be on in half an hour or whatever. Like, it's a good game to kind of pass a bit of time that way and kind of get you started kind of building up with something that's a little bit gentler and a little less taxing, just to kind of get you in that space. And then at the end of the night, where it's just like, okay, we don't have time to do a full thing, like a full level of whatever, or we don't have time to do a full, like, event or whatever it is that you're playing.
Yeah.
But I still want to do a bit of something as I talk and I start to wind down. It's also great for that kind of thing, as long as you not like me and get a bit over competitive.
I mean, saying that, you know, like, you know, playing with other people that you know is also fun.
Exactly. And this is what I mean. It's just like, it's kind of the ideal thing of, like, it doesn't take too long for the games.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't take that much effort in terms of, like, well, unless you want to really try hard it. But it is absolutely one of those games you can have good fun with friends, or you can have good fun on your own and just kind of use it as a kind of a build up and a come down game sort of thing.
Yeah. And also, if your friends have suddenly come online and you really need to go, then you just drop out and no one's going to miss you.
Exactly. Because you're not screwing anyone over. All you're doing is like, hey, like, we all got this far, you guys can have an extra place on me, basically.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, like, that's pretty much the only new thing on my joysticks at the moment. apart from that, been playing a little bit of traditional Halo again, but with some really interesting skull setups.
All right.
Exploding grunts with accelerated explosions are terrifying.
Oh.
Especially when they come flying at your face on Truth and Reconciliation. But yeah, that's about it at the moment.
Okay.
So, I think that's everything today, Chris.
I think that is everything.
If people wish to find us, let us know their events, survival tips, or chime in on any of what we've shared. Where can they find us, Chris?
Oh, yeah. More events tips will definitely be welcome. But you can find us on social media as TBNJ Podcast. Find all our links at lnk.at/TBNJ Podcast. That is Lima, November, Kilo. And leave us a voice message at anchor.fm.
No. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Like, it's Lima, November, Kilo. What's the rest?
Lima, November, Kilo. Alpha Tango.
Forward slash
Tango Bravo November Juliet Podcast. Do I have to spell up podcasts? That's Papa Oscar Delta Charlie Alpha Sierra Tango. Happy?
Good boy.
I do know my natal alphabets.
But for now, we have been Teabags and Joysticks. I have been Cy.
And I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening, and we shall see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Teabags and Joysticks podcast was edited by TB&J Psy. The music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK, and the soundboard consists of royalty-free audio. Thank you for listening. Bye.